I think you guys figured something out too, church. I was kind of hopeful that it would take you longer, but as we've reinstituted sharing time, you guys figured out that if you do a lot of sharing, the sermon ends up getting chopped down a little bit. Some of you knew that, but others of you are just catching on, so I love, hey, it's been fun to be together as the church this morning, to worship, to share, to praise. And I have a few things I want to talk to you about here in this crazy new season we're in of life in 2023, but it's just good to be the body of Christ together. So we are sitting here on, what, 15th day of January, which is technically like just 2 weeks in, just wrapped up our second week. We're going into our third week, and maybe you're one of those people who has like New Year's resolutions or some lists, you know, that you're kind of goaling out for the new year. How many people made some kind of like, I'm going to do this in the new year? Like maybe it wasn't even written down, but just a, I'm going to do this in the new year. Raise your hand high like you're proud of what you decided to do. How many of you guys are still doing some of what you decided to do in the new year so far? I said some, right? I didn't say all of it. I didn't say you're crushing it, right? Yeah. Well, I love one of my sons this morning. The other one I'm having a hard time with because Jed, just when you think your middle schooler can't ruin your life as a parent, dude takes it up a notch. You know what I'm saying? If you were to say to me, hey, Andy, in 2023, you're going to go back to the gym, you're going to eat healthy, and it's all going to be because you're getting shamed by your seventh grade son into doing it, and he's going to lead the charge, I'd have been like, no way. But stinking Jed, I mean, my son Jed that I love, has, we've been having fun all week. Jed enjoys watching his dad cry. I know that dad well. But we made an effort at our house to start eating healthy and going back to the gym, which is probably why I got that shirt from Josh, because now I'm listening to everything he says at the gym and getting good sermon material. I see what's going on, right? Hey, speaking of eating healthy, just a little public service announcement. The teens did a lock-in in here. It was super great. In our guests' cups out front for folks who've never been to White Rock before, we want to give them some just lame, cheesy stuff that they can break and not worry about. But inside is a Snicker bar with a little comment that says, please try not to snicker at the pastor. It just encourages him, right? All we had left after the lock-in in those cups that Tina worked so hard to set out was one Snicker wrapper. Gone. So teens, before you feel like you're getting called out, I just want to say, as a pastor's kid, well played. Well played. If those adults are dumb enough to lay Snickers out on a board and you're here all night long, I mean, come on, right? In fact, first teenager up here after church can have that one. That's totally great. Because I can't have it thanks to Jed, right, Jed? I can't eat sweets. I can't drink soda. But I do have a fridge full of this stuff called Zevia. I don't know if you guys, anybody have tried this Zevia stuff? Do you know what every one of these amazing flavors of Zevia have in common? They're all terrible, terrible. What I wouldn't give for a delicious taste of just a little dab of Pepsi on my tongue, you know what I mean? Like, it's been like 2 weeks, guys, 2 weeks. I slept on the couch last night because Jamie, what's that? I drank, you know what, hey, while I appreciate this YouTube version of a self-help therapy session for the pastor, we're going to move on here and keep going because I'm done with this stuff, it's terrible. Anyway, so maybe you set out to do a little healthy eating, maybe you set out to do a little more cardio or exercise or just do some things to say like, hey, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I probably should like straighten up the drapes on the temple a little bit or something, right? Maybe do a little bit of responsible stewardship with this body God entrusted to me. It's fair. You can see that. Maybe you were thinking finances. Maybe that's what you're thinking. You're like, man, let's do finances. Maybe it's time for me this year to really get on top of stewardship and tithing and saving and responsible spending and getting rid of credit debt and all these things. Boy, you should go to Financial Peace University. What a plug. Did you put that in there, Tim? That's impressive how that slipped right in.
That's awesome.
I thought she did. Tonight, 6 o'clock. Don't go to Andy's class. Thank you, Tim. Yes, okay, I see how it is. Financial Peace University, we're trying as a church to offer some resources to help you. And I just want to put a little plug in there. $100 value, totally free. Church is covering it. If you want to come check it out, experience maybe some freedom from some financial bondage in this crazy world in which we live in. Really, really encourage that. But maybe you had that as a goal, maybe some financial stuff. Maybe you were thinking time management. You're 2 weeks in and you've already blown it, so you're like, whatever, I'll get it next year. But maybe you said, I'm going to manage my time better this year. I'm going to kind of allocate how I spend my free time and be diligent here and, you know, get up a little earlier and do some devotional things. That might be a thing. Maybe you're thinking in a work world like, hey, I need to get a little promotion action and work a little harder to achieve a little more success on the work side of things. All really, really reasonable goals. I mean, those aren't bad things up there. Not bad things at all. In fact, if you could hit all those targets, right? Target, that's a good word for this. If you could hit all those targets, you would probably say, what a successful, what a good year 2023 was, right? I was able to eat healthier, hit the gym a little bit for some health stuff, finances, man, got a little things under control, managed my time well, had a little success in some of my work and made some progress on some things in that, you know, sphere of life. You'd say, man, it was a pretty good year. And I wouldn't disagree with you. If you didn't make any goals and you didn't, you know, have any targets laid out, I just want to encourage you that, like, very seldom do you hit targets you don't aim at. You know what I mean? I mean, you can. It can happen, right? Whoops. Boom. Oh, yeah, that's great. But the reality is, unless you really set some goals or you try to strive after some stuff and aim at something, you don't often hit what you don't aim at, right? So it's not a bad thing at the beginning of a year when you flip that calendar over and say, what does God call me to be? Where should I kind of be walking this out? Maybe having some goals and stuff isn't a terrible thing. Well, Jesus addresses this whole concept in a passage over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And you can turn that if you want to, check it out. It's probably a really important one to understand and to know. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says this: but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But seek first the kingdom of God, his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well, right? Lots of different versions, lots of translations. They say the same strong message, but seek first the kingdom of God, his kingdom, his righteousness, right? Now, I love it when a pastor grabs a Bible verse that starts with but, right? Context matters, right? If you take something out of context, you can get in a lot of trouble in marriage and in life, right? And if you're quoting somebody and you grab a random quote, you can make things say what they don't really say. I had a theology professor at 7 in the morning at Vinard out in Iowa, and I had great fun quoting him, and they were all quotes, right? He would say things like, should we follow the devil? Of course not. And then I would write down things like, should we follow the devil? Dr. Jones. And I date it. And I had a whole cover that said things like, sin is good. Should we follow the devil? And I showed it to my theology professor one time. He was not impressed with me taking out of context all of these little quotes. I said, you actually said this, but it's part of a bigger context, right? We all get that. Dumb college move. Don't do that, students. Just saying. But, oh, there's the word but. But indicates instead of seek first the kingdom of God. So what's this context that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6? Well, he's talking about people who are worrying about what are they going to eat, right? What are we going to eat? Or what are we going to wear? What are we going to do? I need this. I need that. And all these, what we might call life circumstances, we might just call realities of life even, maybe even needs that we have as people, right? That we need food and we need clothing and we need shelter and we got to have some transportation and we got to have some health and we got to do different things, right? There's stuff we got to do in this life that we would say is a need or a reality of the life in which we live. But Jesus in this section is saying, hey, oh, you have a little faith. Stop worrying about what are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? Quit worrying about all of these things because your Heavenly Father knows what you need and he's going to take care of you. He says, look at the birds. I mean, they don't farm. They don't go punch a clock, but your Heavenly Father feeds them. And look at the flowers. Solomon, the richest, wisest man who had the most ornate tapestries to wear. I don't know if you're going to wear a tapestry. Whatever you wear as a king, right? That's like a curtain, right? You wouldn't wear a curtain. Okay, well, I probably didn't wear a tapestry. But anyways, we're moving on. Yeah, Jamie's not here this morning to tell me to move on. Tom, I appreciate the churning, yeah. Solomon was never dressed as ornately as a lily of the flower of the field, right? Or a rose or a daffodil. The intricacies and the beauty of what God did. So God says, the Gentiles, people who are not my people, chase after all this stuff, and they're consumed, and they're worried about all this stuff, and they're trying desperately to figure out how they're going to function and make this work and connect these dots and achieve all these different things in this world. And he says, your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Trust him, in fact, first, instead of worrying about all this stuff, instead of chasing after all this stuff, instead, seek first the kingdom of God. This word seek is kind of a cool word. This Greek word means to aim, right? I used that target word a minute ago on purpose. To aim, to strive for. Jesus says, maybe, you know, you don't have a target in your business, and maybe you don't have a target in your weight class you're trying to hit in some exercise routine, and maybe you don't have a calorie count target, but he says, aim, target the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Aim for, strive for, fix a goal to achieve that's my kingdom and my righteousness. And he uses this word, which is kind of cool, this word first. The Greek word for this, this protos word, literally means first in any succession of things, right? Any succession of things. Do you know that there's never a time ever where the first thing isn't first? Sounds dumb, right? First is number one, right? It's the number one priority. It's number one on the list. First is never second. First is never third. First is never somewhere down the line. It's always number one in any succession list. Anytime, every time, one is one, right? First. And what Jesus says is that we are to first seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Not second, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Not third, not in addition to, tied for first, is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is a soul position of one, right? A soul position of one. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. It's the primary objective and priority. I always like in January to revisit a statement from a good friend of ours who's gone on to be with the Lord, Bob Lane from Inquest Ministries. He would always ask this question: how do you define success? How do you define success? We talked a little bit in a board meeting on Monday night. Thank you, Susan, for bringing that one up. How do you define success? What's the measuring stick for you? If I say to you, hey, was last year successful? What do you go through? What's the checklist? How were your finances? How was your work? Did you increase, get a new car, get a new house, health? What are the checkpoints, the checklist that defines success? Because in this moment, Jesus is saying very clearly, there's one way you define success, and that is first seeking his kingdom, first seeking his righteousness. And if you missed that target, well, maybe you achieved some things that this world values, but did you achieve the things that Jesus calls us to achieve and the things that matter for all eternity? We might have houses and lands and property and clothes and status, but man, you can miss out on everything that matters chasing after those things without first seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. As we look at that list, the goals and targets, I want to challenge you to think that what Jesus is really saying to us is, whether you write things down or whether you have New Year's resolutions, which we all laugh at, but if you're not aiming at anything, you're just kind of meandering, or you're just sort of wandering, or you're saying, I'm not going to try to strive for goals because I'm too discouraged, I don't hit them, and I just give up, or whatever your motivation is on that, I'd encourage you that somewhere on a piece of paper or on the tablets of your heart, it ought to be etched, not these things primarily, right? But that we seek his kingdom and his righteousness over all else. That become the target for your new year. that you seek his kingdom, that you seek his righteousness. And this year ahead, as we look at some things, we've done some cheesy stuff like that toothbrush in the back. Go ahead and turn around and look. There's a big stupid toothbrush hanging in the back of our church. Do you know how many people come in and they're like, what in the heck is that for? And I just tell them that we used to have giants at our church. Terrible breath, those giants. You really, no, I'm just kidding. A couple years ago, we talked about reaching, right? And we put a big reach toothbrush. And some of you still have a reach toothbrush sitting on your desk somewhere that reminds you that you're called to reach and that people come in and say, great job on the hygiene. What's that for? And you can say, just to remind me that I'm supposed to reach people with the love of Jesus and the hope of salvation through Jesus, right? And then last year, we put a big let's go across the back of this thing, which caused a lot of tearing and repainting to be done. But the call was, let's go on mission, being on mission, right? That God had called us. Well, this year, I'm going to share some things here in the next coming weeks for kind of where I feel like God is calling us. But I want to say to you, it's foundational right here out of Matthew 6:33, what God is calling his people to. And what I believe over the next several weeks we're going to talk more and more about is this call to seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Next week is our staff retreat weekend, and so most of the staff will be gone, and Krikor is going to be preaching. He's got a cool message, I think, that's going to be a great point of the spear, pun intended, for where this maybe goes as we launch into some of this thinking. Because I know you're looking at this, and you're like, okay, cool. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness. What is the kingdom of God? What really is his righteousness? Maybe how do we do it? How do we seek the kingdom of God? How do we seek his righteousness? What does that look like? Well, remember that context conversation, right? Because Matthew chapter 6 doesn't just happen in a vacuum either. It's part of a long thing Jesus is doing in 6 and 5 and 7 called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a passage of scripture that's recorded for us as Jesus unpacks the principles of his kingdom, the true principles of what righteousness looks like, right? Some people call it the upside down kingdom, right? Because Jesus says things like, you've heard it said, but I tell you, and he flips on their head what people think maybe it looks like to be righteous. And Jesus is gonna challenge the religious leaders and his own people, just like I think he wants to challenge his church to really look at what it looks like to pursue his kingdom and his righteousness. So I say that to just maybe tease a little bit what's coming. There's no way I can unpack the how and the what today really quick. You guys used up all my time in sharing. But even if I could, it's way too big. And there's way too much that God, I think, wants to say to his church. And so this morning, my only agenda for you is this. Not the how, the kingdom of God. Not the what, the kingdom of God. But the that we seek the kingdom of God. That it becomes the priority as we go into this new year. That the people of God say, my priority list has got to shift, right? My goals, my target, all the stuff I'm seeking has to number one be his kingdom, his righteousness. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he was talking to you in Matthew 6:33 when he said, don't worry about all this stuff. Don't get caught up and consumed with the things of this life. You, follower of Jesus Christ, you, disciple of mine, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. And all this other stuff, it's going to come together. Don't get it out of order. Don't chase all this other stuff and then try to pull Jesus in somewhere. Let's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and watch what he's going to do in this new year as his people strive and aim and target that. Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering as your people this morning, for the worship and for the sharing and for the words from your incredible love letter to us and your call to us as your people. Father, you know our hearts and you know what we strive after and you know what we target and you know the agendas that we bring to the table, the kingdom that we chase after, the self-righteousness or our own interpretation of morality and righteousness that we decide to just live out. Father, I'm excited about what you want to say to your people in these coming days. I'm excited about what it looks like to be on mission building your kingdom. Because I trust you And I believe that when we seek you first, everything else comes together and everything else is manageable. And we don't have to keep striving and struggling in all of the peripheral things if we get the priority where it needs to be. So, Father, I pray as we think about what it looks like to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, as we wonder how we can seek your kingdom and your righteousness, I pray that this day and going into this new year, you would give us a resolve that we are going to, and that we will, and that we choose to seek your kingdom and your righteousness above all else. And I pray you would meet us there in power in this week ahead and continue to speak to us in the coming days as we try to faithfully live out what it means to be your people. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for loving us and the invitation you give us to be in your family. I pray you go with us now in power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.